is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday. Finally, it's Wednesday. It's April 24th, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have our Man Down Mashup Wednesday. This is when we combine both shows. We combine Aaron Green's On the Clock at Guardian Radio with Guardian Radio AM together, and we do an introspection of the news and what is trending. And what is trending? And apparently what is trending is, following what Aaron did on her last show, right, is the Prime Minister pronouncement. The Prime Minister, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, because you know I spin everything, right? That's what I do. I spin. The Prime Minister said, if your husband knock you down and rape you, you don't report him to no police. You get a divorce.
Okay, that's...
that's not even what you said?
That's not...
No, no, then you tell me what he said. If your husband slap you down and take it, okay, you don't report him to the police.
Let me read from the Tribune.
No, I want to ask you. Conclude.
I want to read from the article.
And that article's be confusing me, you know, because I want to know what to conclude. But go ahead, read from me.
I can read from the
Tribune. And then I'll conclude and see if I concluded the same thing.
I'm going to read from the article in yesterday's Tribune. PM says divorce is a solution for marital rape.
See? That's what I just said.
Listen, I want to tell you what I read, not what I think.
Okay,
because I think that it's 2024 and a prime minister that doesn't understand his obligation to provide recourse and protections in the law for everybody. That's right.
Just
that's what
get
I think.
A divorce, man. Go ahead. Finish reading the article.
Again, from yesterday's Tribune, PM says divorce is a solution for marital rape, giving no firm indication that his administration will criminalize marital rape. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis suggested yesterday that divorce is the solution for women who believe their spouse has raped them. Pause.
What do you mean believe? They ain't know? They ain't know if they got raped? They were sleeping? Go ahead. Continue.
That is the Nassau Tribune. Let me read from the Guardian's article in yesterday's Guardian. PM suggests marital rape won't happen under his administration. While women's groups recently renewed calls for the Davis administration to criminalize marital rape, Prime Minister Philip Davis said yesterday he's guided by his party's blueprint for change.
That means he ain't on the agenda.
And a commitment to criminalize marital rape was not in it.
That's what the chairman said. Long time. The chairman said that long time. In fact, I believe the office of the prime minister, the director, responded to what the chairman said and actually corrected it. But now we see that it comes to full circle again. I'm just going on memory now. I just remember there was a response to say, no. The chairman misspoke. This is our stance.
Quote, drafting of legislation takes any number of processes, said Davis, when asked if the amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act would affect the change, which would affect the change, would be tabled in Parliament. Let's go back to the Tribune article. He confirmed the government had not gotten around to dealing with a draft amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act that would remove language indicating that rape cannot be committed against one's spouse. Insisting he is not insensitive to the issue, he said, quote, my thing is that the time when, any time, a couple was married in a blissful marriage reached the stage where they're going to report their husband for rape, it seemed to me that marriage was irretrievably broken down. So pause right here. When he's quoted as saying where they're going to report their husband for rape, not when they experience rape.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if...
Not when the actual offense took place. Not offense in law, because it's not an offense in law, but when the offense against God took place. That's not when the marriage is broken down. It's when you decide you go report it.
The woman go report. The audacity for the woman to report her husband.
Here's another problem. Does the Prime Minister not know that men can be raped as well by their spouses?
if you're...
I mean, men could be raped by other men. Men could be raped by women.
Is it a crime if your spouse brutalizes you and you decide not to report it? Is it a crime for the brutalization, or the marriage is broken down when you decide to report it?
That's the question I want to put to the Prime Minister. I want to ask him to be pellucidly clear. Double up on it. Let's get redundant. Let's be clear, clear, clear.
I still believe the women's group are led by a number of intellectual women. They heard the Prime Minister. They heard exactly what the Prime Minister is intending to say. They heard. I just wait for their response. But then again, most of us in the Bahamas are political. I can't be challenging my leader. That's why I'm trying to explain to you. If I have my leader speak, that ends that. He speaks on behalf of me.
Well, maybe only those who have experienced rape should be allowed to speak on the matter. Maybe those who have never experienced rape should not, their opinions and their contributions, which are different, their contribution is an informed opinion based on data and experiences, external data and experiences.
I see the call, and I'm coming to you now, but one minute for me, Colin. Aaron, I sent you something. I want you to read this. And what I sent you is a Canadian man was found not guilty of rape because he believed he could have sex with his wife whenever, right? Whenever he wanted to. And he was not from Canada, but he's actually from Gaza, living in Canada, and his wife is Palestinian. And I know they make it a point that we align ourselves with a number of extremist countries, right? But this debate is
you
not...
You calling Palestine an extremist country?
They have a country still?
Okay.
Oh, there you go. My point is, this conversation is not only happening in the Bahamas. It's also happening in Canada. And I don't have the link for the story, but I have like a picture, a snapshot of the picture of the article, and I want you to read this Canadian story that is similar to what is happening in the Bahamas. I just want to put that on the record too. And Carl, I'm coming to you next, so be patient. Go ahead.
Okay, reading from the excerpt. But when they separated in January 2013, the woman learned that she had the right to refuse sex with her husband. She told police about an alleged 2002 incident, which eventually led to charges. She alleged that he had pulled her onto the couch, pulled down her pants, and had sex with her despite pleading with him to stop at least three times. Her husband told the court he could not have had sex with her at the time because he had just received a hair transplant and he was following his doctor's orders to avoid intercourse. The judge said he found her to be a credible witness and rejected her husband's account, but said he could not find a man guilty of a crime. Advocates against sexual violence were disappointed by the ruling. Carolyn Johnstone, acting executive director of the Ottawa Coalition to End Violence Against Women, said the ruling reflects myths about sexual assault in our society. Quote, any sexual contact without explicit and ongoing consent is sexual assault, regardless of the relationship, Ms. Johnstone told the BBC. Quote, he may have believed that he had a right to have sex with her as her husband, but Canadian sexual assault law is clear and was amended to include sexual assault against a spouse in 1983. Now, what's missing from this excerpt is the ruling, like the judge's commentary.
Conclusion on why
she
is not guilty.
Right. Why they found the man not guilty.
But they find him not guilty all the same. That's my
point. No. We can't rest on that, Mr. Newry.
Go ahead.
The law is far more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be another reason why the judge could not find him guilty. It may have been statute of limitations issue. But all we know is that after we're told about the ruling, advocates were disappointed and they reference a change in the law in 1983.
Mm.
This change in the law suggests that there's another reason why the man was found not guilty.
I'm not sure how the Canadians can change the law to say you can rape a man. I mean, a man can rape his wife. They're peculiar in Canada. But let's go to the caller.
Okay.
Because we have more sense in the Bahamas. Let's go to the caller, producer. Caller, can you hear me?
Morning, Miss Mary.
Good morning. How you doing?
And good morning, Aaron Lee.
Morning, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. you know, you was reading something where you said the Prime Minister said that he is being guided by the Blueprint for Change.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a copy of the Blueprint for Change?
No, I don't have it in my I don't have it on in my notes right now.
Okay, I would like for you to get a copy of it. And seeing that he's being guided by it, with his actions, I would like you to see in there what it says about the traveling, what do they say about the work, and what in there have he actually done
so
and completed
call it, would
that
you,
we know of.
We should take advantage of this opportunity to make a broader assessment of whether the Prime Minister and his colleagues are adhering to their Blueprint for Change?
Yes, I really would like to see us do that.
I got you,
Mr. Because he himself said it, and saying that he said we need to hold him to that.
Mr. Nuri, let us organize a show where we sit down with the manifesto, Blueprint for Change, and we interrogate it critically to determine how well the administration is sticking to their promises.
Yeah, I don't know if he just nitpicking certain things,
mm-hmm.
or he is actually following that to the T. And out of that, what has he achieved thus far?
Okay.
I would really, really like to know.
Also, caller, should we throw on the table this demand that you can no longer claim that a manifesto is just a bunch of promises and not a substantive commitment to policy creation and legislative change?
Well, you know, in the court of law, he opened the door to that. I
can call it a precedent. I'm not a lawyer, but I can call it a precedent.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. I got three inbox with copies of the Blueprint for Change.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Just now, I got three different people who sent it to me. So I appreciate it. Look like we will have to have a show on that in the immediate future.
I mean, I got my Blueprint for Change in my notes. I just had to empty my bag about 17 times since the
election.
Looks
like people are eager to have a conversation with it. Are you finished with this, or you want to interrogate some more? Because I have a number of things I could move on to.
I want to just read through it, and then we have some text related to that part of the discussion.
Yes, let's do that. And I have a live read I want to do also. So let's go through that, and then go to the text, and then we go to the live read.
All right, I'm going to go back to the Guardian article. PM suggests marital rape won't happen under his administration. The Department of Social Services held a symposium on the bill in 2022, and a discussion in quotations, with stakeholders was hosted by Law Reform Commissioner Dame Anita Allen in 2023. Under the current law, rape is defined as, quote, the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person who is not his spouse without the consent of that person. The proposed amendment would remove the words, who is not a spouse. Last week, members of the Bahamas Crisis Center called on the government to act. How much more information and data do we need to act? Director of the Bahamas Crisis Center, Sandra Dean Patterson, asked. Davis has remained noncommittal on the issue. When asked about it last week, he said, quote, I don't like this idea of describing rape. Rape is rape whether you are married or unmarried. The challenge they are having is describing it, close quotes. I wanted to read that into the record because I don't see where the disconnect is. The Prime Minister says rape is rape whether you are married or unmarried. The advocates, in particular Equality Bahamas and their Strike 5 campaign, all they are asking to do is have the government remove the words, who is not a spouse, to reflect what the Prime Minister has iterated repeatedly. Rape is rape whether you are married or unmarried. I don't understand where the disconnect is.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to get back to the Tribune article. Asked about making it easier for people to get a divorce, Mr. Davis said the divorce process could already be easy. Quote, insofar as making it easier to have a divorce in those certain situations, the law is there. It could be easy. Close quotes. He said, quote, the problem is that most women, they're abused in the sense that the abuse itself sort of disarmed them from moving forward because of another fear. the fear of surviving what will happen if I divorce, close quotes. Mr. Davis said the government is creating mechanisms to ensure that such people will be provided with a, quote, safety net, close quotes, to survive on their own. I don't know if I want your safety net, sir. I don't know if I want any safety net created by you. I'm not sure you understand the issue sufficiently to be able to produce a thing that could provide safety for the people that you're addressing. And I think that you need to stop playing politics with people's lives, talking about you're not insensitive to the matter, that when the rape is reported, that's when the marriage is broken down. Sir, while y'all playing politics with people's lives, people are experiencing extreme violence in the most vulnerable spaces. And those people include men as well.
Well, let us men worry about men. You can worry about your woman.
And getting raped by men.
Let us men worry about
that. And I'll worry about being a woman and getting raped.
Yes, you love me for that. Yeah, you love me for that. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. Trump, all of you are well. I'm 43 years young. Well, actually, on my second marriage. First one was rocky, but I never had the mindset to take from my wife at the time whatever she didn't want to give. But when I was growing up, it was always taught to me by my parents and grandparents that as the man, you should get a job, be able to provide for your family, and get married. Today, I believe our message is really becoming distorted from creating family principles and values. And I have a question for you and Aaron. Mm-hmm. After a spouse, because it seems to me that it's really becoming sexist, this discussion of marital rape. I have my viewers and you have your viewers, and we should respect that. But after a spouse, be it man or woman, makes a report to law enforcement that I've been raped by my husband or my wife, what do we expect of the marriage after? Is this marriage going to continue? Is this family going to live under the same roof? Or is this marriage considered to be over? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the Prime Minister answered that already. He said that if at that point of reporting, it shows that this marriage cannot be, what the word he used? Irreplaceable? What is it? Use a word. Use a phrase.
He used many words. I'm not sure if
he said when the point that the idea that you
any
reported.
Any of them mean. I'm going to the notes. I can look at the notes and try to find
the idea that you reported means that this marriage more likely is over. So, and that's why he said that's you seek divorce. You don't seek the law to imprison.
The term he used was irretrievably broken.
See, there you go.
It seems to me that a marriage is irretrievably broken when it reaches a stage where they are going to report their husband for rape.
The idea that you're reporting your husband, your good husband for rape?
No. The idea that you reconcile the experience that you had with your spouse as rape means that the relationship is dysfunctional or it is problematic. To use the word broken is also another loaded word that's part of a political narrative being expressed by the Prime Minister. Mm. See, a part of the issue is this. In the negotiations, there was the creation of a law, like sexual assault within a marriage. That's very loose, right? So there's like they were proposing an alternate. And the alternate is you could go to the police and you can have your husband charged for sexual assault. The issue, it appears, sits around the use of the word rape. Even some religious figures in the debate have said, we acknowledge that the act is heinous enough to require recourse. We object at the use of the word rape. Mm-hmm. From the layman's perspective, calling it rape means that the marriage is broken. I don't want to end the marriage. I want to try and fix the marriage.
You want to go to counseling?
I want us to go through counseling, right? So people on the ground have expressed this idea that
it wasn't really a sexual assault.
No, that's not what they said.
Well, you confuse me with all these words.
No, you confusing yourself.
But you need to use simpler words.
There's not a big word I used just now.
I wouldn't know. What was the act?
People on the ground are saying that,
if my husband slapped me down and take it, it's not rape. It should be called something else.
It's a, I don't want to call it rape because if you call it rape, it means that the marriage is broken.
Give me some words to call it. Give me some. And make up anything you want. Anything.
Hold on. First of all, this is an inappropriate interrogation.
I just said.
For what I'm expressing to you.
Give me a word.
What the citizens, when you the grassroots people, when you go on the ground and you talk to people, they acknowledge that the act is heinous.
Yes, it's a violent act.
And then they say, but calling it rape signifies that the marriage is broken.
Yes.
I don't want to
call it rape.
I don't want the marriage to end.
You want to continue.
But if I call it rape, it signifies that the marriage is over. I would like support and counseling to heal the relationship.
You don't go to the police for support and counseling. You go to the doctors and the nurses.
And this is why there has been a resistance at the grassroots level to use the word rape. Again, I point out that some members of the religious community that are opposed to criminalizing marital rape acknowledge that the act experience is violent and heinous, but using the word rape in and of itself signifies that the marriage is over, and these people experiencing this trauma, not all of them, want the reporting of this incident to be a signal of the end of the marriage. They want to be able to
peculiar
fix
Christians
the marriage.
Let's go to the caller and let me read this live read right here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Dorian. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, morning.
Yes. The issue with this marital rape thing brings to question another set of law where, you know, one can apply for legal separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at when somebody goes through a divorce proceeding, they come to the point of a decree nisi before they do the ancillary and then have the marriage fully completed, where they would end up with a decree absolute. Now, in between there, here you have this marital rape thing as if somebody's asking the courts to police their relationship in the marriage, right? And when you have legal separation, sometimes people have to reside under the same roof. Are you all aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this putting forward this marital rape thing is basically what is the remedy or the, you know, penalty that they're going to put into the law?
I mean, it should be the same penalty you get for raping someone you're not married to. Should it not be? I mean, if like the Prime Minister says rape is rape whether you're married or unmarried.
Okay. That's food for thought for everybody to think about as to what remedy of sort that you're asking in this bill. And to digress from that, you all talk about you're going to interrogate the blueprint for change, right? I would like for you all to check into, because whatever the Prime Minister keeps saying back and forth, a couple of things, could you all try and interrogate, find out, and I'd like to know what law school did he attend?
I can look at his bio for you. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by Bahamian Contractors Association, inviting you to our monthly membership luncheon this Wednesday. That's today, April 24th. Environmental health and safety professional Estacia Jennings will be the guest speaker on the topic, why is environment, health, and safety important for construction? That's this day today at 12 noon at the Poop Deck Restaurant, Sandyport. Special lunch price is $50. A mere $50. And this is the Bahamian Contractors Association monthly membership luncheon. And of course, the guest speaker again is Estacia Jennings. And they're having a wonderful talk. And they want everybody, at least people in the construction field, to come by and join that. But we'll be right back. We're going to take a brief break, and then we will transition and have a conversation about festivals. No? That's what we're going to do, Erin? Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, we'll be right back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Noreen. Of course, it's Man Down Mashup Wednesday when we combine both shows. Before we transition, we have a number of texts I want Erin to run through quickly. I ain't doing no commentary on it. Just so those persons who spend their 5 cents texting to get their voice in. So let's do that, and then we go to our guest. Our guest today is Anita Cawley. That's it?
Anita Cawley Vadesia.
Pronounce the last name again?
Vadesia.
I'll be calling you Anita Cawley for the rest of the show because I can't pronounce that. But that's one of my cousins, and she's here to talk about festivals and stuff like that. But go ahead, Erin.
All right, first text. Bae, CA, you know how to push people's buttons, but I give up on this marital rape issue. After seeing 20 years pass and my ex and estranged husband still says I have papers on you so I can take what I want when I feel like it because you can't rape your wife, I feel the government does not like women or care about women in this country. Another text. Morning. What is the legal definition of sexual assault? Maybe we can call rape within a marriage sexual assault for now. Erin, I'm starting to come around on the marital rape bill, but I think that the bill should include a clause that would require spouses to be intimate with their spouses for a said period of time. If the intimacy is not upheld by either party, then that should be grounds for divorce and seen as emotional abuse. What do you think? Texter, I can't tell you what I think right now because I'm under heavy manners, but I'm going to take a picture of this text and I will respond on another show. It is my understanding that the female advocates are also trying to insert abortion on demand in this rape bill. That's interesting. I cannot comment. The underlying issue of marital rape is a culture that encourages men to marry for sexual convenience and view their wives as sexual property. There is no point in changing the law without changing the culture. There's a popular story on the street about a man who was drugged and raped by his female partner with a object. Men are victims of rape. Also, I didn't say it. Good morning. For God's sake, the man, Brave, has 2 years left in this present administration. Better yet, how common is this problem? Should this be getting that much attention in the public discourse? I bet we don't have more than 5 cases in the last 5 years in this country. Prove me wrong, please. I think you proved yourself wrong. Texter, I'm not allowed to comment at this time. Another text. What these people... Good morning. The problem with marital rape law is the assumption that only men can commit rape. So this doesn't have anything to do with women's rights. It has to do with female advantage. This is why I like to bring up wife having sex with their husband after he is drinking is rape. What these people pushing for marital rape law seem to really want a law that makes a husband guilty of rape because his wife accused him of rape. Cecil, I have to just say something, please.
No. We got to go to transition to Anita.
The fact that men can also be victims of rape suggests that it's a gender-based and sexual violence problem and not a gendered problem.
Stick to just reading the text.
The more you say woman like that, the more people can think that that type of violence actually is commonplace in our society, sir.
Read the text, please. Just read the text.
Finish reading all the
You
text.
Feed all the text?
Sir.
So let us talk to my cousin. Because you would have been on this talking all day, and I have a guest. I have a guest, and I need to concentrate on her because I promised her some time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
And why are you here with us today?
Well, I'm here all the way
from... No, you got to introduce yourself.
Okay.
I tried to pronounce the last name, and I didn't pronounce it properly. So you do all that and then start to come in.
Well, my name is Anita Cawley Vadasia. I hail from the beautiful island of Acklands and the Crooked Island, both. And I am the chairwoman of the Acklands Cascarilla Heritage Festival, which will be June 13th to 16th in Acklands Island. So we're here to share the good news and to invite you to come on down to Acklands.
So you want Acklands Islanders and the Bahamas as a whole to come down to Acklands during when again?
June 13th to 16th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know what a cascarilla is, mm-hmm. right? But what's a cascarilla festival?
Well, the Cascarilla Festival is where we are celebrating the cascarilla, what it brings to the island of Acklands, the economic benefits, the medicinal benefits, the fact that the cascarilla has been around, well, close to 100 years or more, and how we have seen the island grown over the last years, and especially over the last few months, with the increase in the price for the harvesters right now. So they're enjoying a whole lot more monies from the cascarilla. So the lifestyle of our people, we are encouraging it to change. And with the exposure of the cascarilla, we believe that this can possibly, we know it can happen.
Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead.
I don't know what a cascarilla is.
It's a plant.
Plenty of people don't know what a cascarilla is.
That's because they don't know what the plant is.
Yeah, but
I want to have a show on the cascarilla in general. Right? Mm-hmm. And the benefits and who benefits from it. Because she said the harvesters benefit from it. I want to know how. Right? But I need a whole hour for that. I'm not sure if I should even delve in it. But to appease Aaron.
So people know
what's the cascarilla?
Why cascarilla deserves its own festival.
Yeah, but I don't, it might be a rabbit hole though.
No,
but go
no
ahead. I let you ask that question. Go ahead. Ask Miss Anita Cawley the question.
Good morning, cousin Anita Cawley.
Good morning, my dear family.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
I just want for a moment for you to tell the people what cascarilla is. Because every time I say Madeira Bach, they say Campari. And I shake my head.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the cascarilla, that is the local name or the common name. The medicinal, the botanical name is Croton eleutheria. It is originated, we believe, we found information in Africa, and it was used when there was outbreaks of malaria. That would have been like in the 1700s, early 1800s. And we believe that the seeds came from Africa over to the Bahamas, I guess, via the
Eleutheria.
Yeah. Eleutheria?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Maybe via Eleutheria.
I don't know.
See?
Then perhaps.
Yes.
Well, it is a herb, a bitter herb, that grows primarily in the wild, and now they're trying to make farms in Acklands with the cascarilla bark. The cascarilla is used as a medicinal herb, and it's also used in flavoring, also used in smokes, and it's the primary flavoring in the Campari liquor, and the Rocca family for many, many years were the primary exporter of the cascarilla to the Campari company in Italy, where they have been purchasing the cascarilla for years. Now other individuals are getting into the business, and we are seeing where It's in the high demand right
you
now.
You see what I talk about the rabbit hole?
You ever?
Because you know I can ask, how come the Roca family have was exported? And I'm not going to ask that.
Right, because we both moderating ourselves. What we are going to say...
You shouldn't ask that leading question.
No, man, listen, what we are going to say is this. When I come down to the Cascarilla Festival, what are the Cascarilla-based products that I will be able to sample, learn about, and
I
enjoy?
I like how you lead me out of that question, the quagmire. Go ahead.
When we come down.
Yeah, when we come down.
Well, on the island, you'll be able to taste, there's a beverage that I may call Barilla. They're the tonic. We do a competition where the person who can drink the most Cascarilla tonic in a he's looking and say in 2 minutes or 3 minutes, so you can drink a liter, 40 ounces, a quarter gallon, you will receive a prize for that. We do use the Cascarilla in soaps, in rubs, in fragrance that we make. So there'll be a number of different herbs and products that you can buy.
Are you going to have a mixology competition at the festival so we could explore the potential of Cascarilla and Barilla and other alcohol-derived products?
Yes. Well, we tried to pull that off twice, but we found that because we didn't have the right people who had an interest in it, that we didn't have a very favorable response at that time.
Well, let me put this plug out there for bartenders and new mixologists that are looking for a signature cocktail, that are looking for something unique, special in the market, and then something that when you take abroad, it has an inherent appeal and allure because it is from where you're from.
Yes.
Y'all need to come and talk to the Auckland's Cascarilla Festival people about creating a stage for you to explore.
Yes.
Let's talk about me coming down. How I can get down to Auckland. Is there any package deal happening for this Cascarilla Festival?
Well, right now, Bahamas Air fly in on a Wednesday.
So I got to come on Wednesday.
No, we're talking to Bahamas Air now also for a Thursday flight where you can fly in on Thursday and leave on Sunday morning. Because the events will be from Thursday to Saturday evening. So you'll have 3 days of events, starting out with a gospel segment on Thursday. And then on Friday, we'll have our opening. We'll have games and all sorts of different foods and items. And then on Saturday, the same thing. And then Saturday evening, we'll have a Tom Hanna Back to the Bush boat cruise, which will end the festival. So all of those who like to go out on the boat, you know in the past, that's really one of the big event, especially for the young people on the island. It's a really outdoor sea kind of outing that they love to go
on. So where we cruising? We're going to cruise the Bight of Auckland?
In the Bight of Auckland, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is this usually a popular event for Auckland? Do you have a lot of people come down to experience this?
Over the last, this will be our fourth year. Over the last 3 years, yes, this has now become the festival of the island. It has taken over from the regatta. Because it's unique, because it is different, because we are celebrating the Cascarilla last year being our 50th year anniversary, we not only celebrated the Cascarilla, but we celebrated those individuals who were real pioneers, not only in the Cascarilla, but in the country at large. So we did about 20 persons, and their pictures and their biography is up in the community center, where we have a wall of fame there for individuals from Auckland. Now, this year, we're looking at honoring or recognizing Leonard Roca, who is the third generation from the Roca family, purchaser of the Cascarilla Bach, Joanna Ferguson, and Gustavus Darling, who's from Morant Bay. But going back to the Cascarilla, there was a gentleman, his name was Moore. I don't know what his first name was, but he was a white gentleman. He started it, and he had Sir Milo Butler. He was the first agent that purchased the bark in Auckland and sold it, that Mr. Moore was buying the bark through Sir Milo. And then these other individuals, including Elkin Roca's father, they came on board. And they kind of took over, and now it has passed on, and now we have a market where other individuals are now into the business of buying the Cascarilla and exporting it.
So I like fun things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Name me the fun things I can experience when I come down.
Well, not only that, you'll be able to go out. That's if you like outdoors. You like fishing. See how you jump when I said that? Yes, we will have persons there who can take you out fishing.
He liked to bait, but I don't know if he liked fishing.
There you go. That sounds like me.
Well, you can go out on fishing. You can do tours on the island. We're going to have somebody there who will be doing the flower cake demonstration. You know, Cat Island always said that they have the best flower cake in the Bahamas. We'll have somebody from Auckland's there who will be demonstrating the flower cake, baking it on the outside. You can go into the caves. There's one cave that said that the Lucayan Indians used to live in down there in it's called Jambi Hole. You'll be able to visit that. You can also visit one in the back of Atwood Harbor area down at Salina Point.
Is there a guide that will take us on these tours?
Oh, yes. There's a guide. And then you have the slave plantation down in Portland by the Hanna family. And then up by my area, I have an outdoor museum. I will be really involved in the festival, but if anybody want to see it, you'd have to come early in the morning where you're able to look at all of the old artifacts and the way of life, that how we used to live, and experience the bush tea event as well.
No, man. Somebody can volunteer and you can pay them a stipend to keep the museum open while you work in the festival.
I'm trying to get one of my relatives to come down and to do that, because The island of Auckland's history is so rich, and we really don't know if we're able to get you to the... Let's say if there's salt in the pond, you want to go harvest salt, we can take you there.
Don't let Nassau people touch your salt pond.
No, let me tell you what we're doing right now as we speak. I am involved with a program with Ministry of Economic Affairs and a consultant out of Ireland. And what we're doing, we are setting up geographical indicators for the salt pond and for the cascarilla bark that makes it indigenous to the islands of island of Auckland's and Crooked Island. We will own it, and it will give us more a marketing ability when we talk about the cascarilla, when we talk about the Rock Island, Bahama Island salt right now. So
I want, sorry, Aaron.
No.
When I come, is there some place for me to stay, or I got to stay in my car?
If you want to stay in your rental car, you can.
You don't have rental cars there then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes,
just like, I'm trying to make sure what all I can do.
If I bring my tent, right?
You can pitch it on the beach.
It's not like we need to do a plan.
In Ochikchani's?
No.
That's right in front
of the Regatta Park. You can stay on there. Or, you know, there's rooms there. We have Ivel's. We have Ivel's Bed and Breakfast. We have Grace Point. Mm-hmm. We have Top Choice Lodge. I'm trying to think about the others. There are several small lodges that you can stay to.
So more than enough rooms?
Yes, oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to make reservations and things for the rooms, like there's an online site or just...
Yes, you can call in. Most of those individuals, companies, they do have telephone numbers. If you Google it now, everything you can find on the computer
or on your phone. Auckland's accommodations.
Right, or if you put in Grace Point. Or if you put in Ivel's, if you put in Top Choice Lodge, they're the three primary. And then you have Chester's Creek Lodge, and then you also have Chester's Bonefish Lodge. They're the two in the north in the Chester's area.
Now, look here. When I went to Andrus and I tried to camp, Andrus have a wonderful community association program. Mm-hmm. It's like, cousin, you don't need to sleep on the beach. We have hotel rooms. And they let me know what was available. Uh-huh. And I tell them, I come for a bush experience.
Okay.
My cousins laugh at me and say, if y'all don't put y'all bags inside this room and sleep in here. But when I come down, right, I ain't making a plan.
I just come in.
Mm-hmm. Can I put my car on a boat and bring it down?
Of course. You can put it on Tom Hanna boat. He will be there like the previous week, because he only come in three times per month. You would have to bring it in advance, say on a Saturday.
Send it down,
and then if you come on the flight on Thursday, and then on the return boat, which will be that Saturday after the boat cruise, you're able to send your car back.
Right.
When's the date again? I'm trying to get all this in my head.
The 13th to the 16th of June.
13th of June. So I need to send my car, like, oh, you said a week before?
Like that Saturday.
The Saturday.
Yes.
And then come the Wednesday.
Right. And then you can come back. You'll send it out, your car back that Saturday. Once the festival is over.
Okay, I see it. We talk about the fun things, we talk about accommodations, we talk about rentals.
What type of payment options are available for me?
Cash is king.
I know I got to bring cash.
Yes, we don't have unfortunately, we don't have a bank down there. We have what is it, sun cash?
Sun cash, sun, and, yeah, and sand,
sand
dollar.
You can use that down there, the sand dollar. You can use that. You can use sun cash. And there's no bank, and there's the post office as well. We're working hard to try and get a bank into Acklands from one, you know, but it's right. a little challenge because there's not that much funds turning over on the island.
Can I pay my tithes with sand dollar? Well, I'm trying to balance my care. Because I know if you come and you get go church, church could be rocking.
Well, I don't know. I have to call my pastor. I mean, because he's like one of the up-to-date church on the island. That's Joshua Kingdom Ministries.
Yeah.
You can find out if I know they accept it at the lodge.
Yeah, tell him.
Because they do also own Grace Point. Perhaps maybe you can bring if you want to, we'll bring the card over. In fact, it's possible.
I like Absolutely. A good church service. For the part of this festival, are you able to go to church?
You're able to go to church Sunday morning before you leave out to return to Nassau Sunday afternoon.
Okay. And nice. What are all the kind of denominations you have? So let me choose one church I go into.
Well, we have a small community of witness, perhaps uh-huh. maybe about three or four. Uh-huh. We have the Adventist. We have the Anglican. We have the Baptist. We have the Church of God. And of course, I go to a non-denominational church.
Okay. I can follow you. Yeah. When I come look for you, cousin.
Yeah.
Performances.
Mm-hmm.
I know you all have I found an Acklands Regatta song. So mm-hmm. I know you all got musician down there who will be performing at this year's event?
Well, we have the Magical Beat Band, which is an Acklands-based band, and they live in Nassau. A few of them live in like the lead, one of the lead ladies singer. She lives in Acklands, but we've have them. They will be back. This will be their fourth year.
Awesome.
Because it's an Acklands band, and we want to support our own.
Yeah.
Last year, we had Bloody. We're talking to Bloody right now. He's in such demand right now.
I understand.
Yeah. He's our boatman.
I mean, listen, we're trying to get him to come back down. We've made contact with Mama D. I was telling my son, you know, he's young and up and know what's going on. I told him, I don't know about Mama D.
Hold on.
Mama D, good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Okay. Mama, take my oat to the Billy Goat. She ain't gonna lie no more. But, okay. but, Cousin Collie, I can reach out to our other cousin, Shad Collie, and the VIPs, and let's see if we could get them down there.
I would love to have Shad down there in Acklands. Definitely. That's Shad, if you hear whatever, you get him to come down. And then we were talking to Ira Store's son as well, Iron.
Iron Store as well.
Yeah, we're trying to get him down. And then we have, on the spiritual side, we have Godson.
Godson, okay.
I met him recently. He went to Sacramento, actually.
Yes, yeah. And there's a Hepburn lady. She's saying she was there last year. So we're bringing down some, you know, good entertainment that you will have.
Sound like it'd be an enjoyable time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, and yes.
How the water? I could go swim?
Definitely.
Can you swim?
Not really.
You can,
but I could
swim.
Put my foot in the water.
We'll give you some floats.
You got plenty shallows?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wonder, like you said, you could rent cars, right? Mm-hmm. If I wanted to like see the from one settlement to the next, mm-hmm. I could get a car and just drive up and down?
Up and down, one road.
One road.
Okay, Queens good. Highway.
So I can't get lost.
You can't get lost. And of course, unless you want to go off the side road, you know, to go to look for the beach or something like that.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. other than that, it's just one straight road from Salina Point to Lovely Bay. And good. Then you're able to go over to Crooked Island, which is only a stone's throw away. Let's say if you want to spend one day in Crooked, there's a daily ferry that is free. From you go in the morning, 8 o'clock, 8:20, and then you return in the evening at 5.
You say free? So while
funded
I down,
by the government.
Once I'm down in Acklands to this thing, I can just while well take advantage and see Crooked Island went down.
Of course, definitely.
That sound like it's two
yes.
in one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. And yes. free by the government funded.
Yes, uh-huh.
Two,
all right.
I didn't know
so
that.
Now, what type of activities are we having?
Well, at the site, well, on Thursday, of course, is our gospel. On Friday, between mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday, we'll have bark beating competition. We'll have the bark race. That's fun. We've had that at all the festivals where you're carrying a bundle of bark on your head. We'll tie it to you. We're going to have the individual race, and then we'll have the partner race. So let's say you and Aaron, y'all two want a tag team to do the bark race. Mm-hmm. One of you will carry the bundle of bark on your head, and then you got to run together. You're going to be tied together. And the first two to reach the finish line, it's a lot of fun. You'll also be able to beat the bark. You'll be able to drink the bitters. And then we're going to have a competition where creating a product from the bark, the best creative product from the bark, we're going to have that as well.
Any tourists down there?
Oh, yes.
You want some tourists?
Listen, on the...
I mean, you're the back of God's back. I don't know if it's just happening.
Behind God's back is the best place to be, my brother. You're always protected.
Be in the shadow.
In the shade.
In the shade.
Oh, the shade. Okay.
In the shade.
So you're some tourists.
Listen, on Saturday, I came into Nassau, and the flight was full. It was so full, it usually goes into Acklands first. it went into Crooked first to pick up the amount of tourists that we had between Acklands and Crooked Island. The flight came in with about 45, I think, passengers, and about 35 of those were anglers on the plane. And these that's our biggest way of making money, income producer down there on the island, is the fishing, the bonefish business. That's big. I mean, big. And I have seen and more people coming to the island, more influx of tourists coming to the island, especially for the bonefishing season, which is now, and it will end like May, June. So like from October, November, the flights are always full, challenge getting in and out. We're talking to Bahamas Air to put on an extra flight because a lot of the locals can't get in and out. Once you see those anglers book, they book well in advance. So and when they don't come one. Well, sometimes you find one, but for the most part, they will come in a group.
And they know they know who they can see when they come by themselves. They know who they can buck, their friends, the regulars.
And then they go down to Felton Road. He has a lodge down off Salina Point, and they use his lodge, very private, right, tuck away, like all the way, like off the beaten track. Like you have to go through this road, and it's on a beach, beautiful area down in Salina Point. And then like all the other lodges, like Ibell's, Grace Point, Creekside, they use those, and they have the guides. They will take them out and go fishing.
So I it's come to my attention that y'all still don't know why y'all couldn't find Jerry Rook in town.
No, we ain't
which
fine,
means
yeah.
there are openings yes. in Acklands,
yes.
right?
There are lots of openings, and I'll tell you this story. My godmother, who was Linda Hanna from Pompey Bay, God bless her soul, she was one of those that went missing. And just the other day, about a year now going on, just on to 2 years, a young lady, she was with her mother, and she strayed off from her mother, and she went, and nobody knew. We can't find her. And there's a young man from Salina Point. He went, and nobody knew where he went.
You were on a boat or just went?
No, walking. And just.
That's an opportunity for good storytelling.
Yes, uh-huh.
Do they have storytellers in Acklands? Like how Cat Islands have storytellers for this for your event?
We need to do that. Okay. I'm sure I can find one or two individuals who know Acklands and know the story
now,
of Acklands.
I have a friend from Cat Island named Princess Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good cousin friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's a world-renowned and awarded storyteller.
Okay.
I'm going to tell my Cat Island cousin she need to link up with her Acklands cousins.
Yes, definitely. So and show us and tell us how
we can add this element
yes.
to the festival.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I'm really excited to find out what happened to people who go missing.
I don't know. And the thing with that is we've never been able to find those individuals. I know there was a 2 years ago, these two sisters, they went to look for bark. They went barking. And they went up into this area called Blue Mountain. Aaron, that's the part where our family comes from opposite, no, these are the Hannah Hissy Tynes people, opposite Pompey Bay.
Uh-huh.
And they went barking. They went early in the morning. They cut their bark. And by the time they were ready to leave, they couldn't find their way out.
Mm.
And they did not panic. They called their father and their mother, who was in Delectable Bay. Thank God it was a cell site right opposite where they were on the main road in Pompey Bay. And he told them, don't move. Stay there. Don't move. We're going to send someone. Because they were just walking around in circles, walking around in circles. And finally, and they said the bark in the back there, they were big like your arm.
Nice.
They've not been cut in years, probably 100 years. I'm all just dying and coming, you know, regenerating itself.
Marie, they have a Brigadoon. You remember the movie Brigadoon?
Yeah.
The secret entryway to the world only opened up 100 years.
Nice.
We got our own Brigadoon.
So many stories.
Acklands. So listen. So what happened was their parents sent someone to get them. And they got picked them up at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Let's do a quick recap. When and where? Which settlement? The thing, go ahead, quickly.
Spring Point, Acklands, June 13 to 16, Acklands Cascarilla Heritage Festival. See you there.
Contact number.
429-7838. Call, and we will get you into Acklands.
Good. Just remind everyone that the Bahamian Contract Association is having their monthly membership luncheon again today. Today, Wednesday, April 24th. And that's going to be Poop Deck, Sandy Port. And at 12 noon, they have a special lunch price at $50. And, of course, they have the guest speaker will be Eustathius Jennings. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, hell is hot, but stay behind God's back.
Edgar and Acklands.
It's nice
you
and
better.
Shady.
You better. I hope to see you all down
in Acklands. Edgar and Acklands. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.